Ramble.
To really love a thing so much that it like defines you, but to also never be happy or satisfied, that sucks. Like, is there any part of this thing that you love that you actually love?
My calling it, Cyberpunk is going to be a letdown.
My calling it is that Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be a letdown.
Fun fact, guys, if you think about buying a castle, they look cheap on the outset, but it's not the price of the castle that'll get you. It's the taxes and
castle
fees.
Tax. And it's also afterwards. Feeding the serfs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you care if I chew a cough drop? I won't chew it, but like, I kind of don't want to
cough. That could be...
No, you can suck on it slightly.
Is it audible?
Okay, I'd cool. say like just be mindful noticed. Of... when you're talking, it's not clanking against your teeth.
Yeah, I keep it stored in my gum like I do with
teeth. I mean, if anyone's... If,
I thought you were about to say teeth. Like I do with my teeth.
I mean, if anyone's going to be good at controlling their voice and their talking with random things in their mouth, it would be you.
Thank you!
Yeah. Fuck.
Oh, that sucked. That sucked a lot.
Very sorry.
No, it's funny.
Welcome everyone to the Smoshcast. This is, I believe, is number 51.
Wow.
And, yeah. Today I'm joined by my lovely two boys, Damien Haas and Shane Todd.
Hey.
It's bros like we. Look
bros
at this tired
like
boy.
We.
Bros like we.
He's tired man.
Again. Yes, very tired. We flew back from Houston. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what were you guys doing in Houston?
So this podcast coming out, because of the tour, this podcast coming out in a couple weeks after we recorded it. Mm-hmm. But we were at the WWE Royal Rumble.
Mm. 2020, baby!
So what's nuts. What is the Royal Rumble? What separates a Royal Rumble from a different... wrestling match?
Apparently there, from what I've been told, there are four like big match styles per year, and this one is a 30 person battle royale. Two people start in, and every 2 minutes, or roughly 2 minutes, another person is added to the mix.
What?
The one rule is that to get someone out, you have to get them over the top rope and both of their feet have to touch outside of the ring. So sometimes people are thrown under the ropes and they can hop
That's
back
fine.
In.
Or they're thrown over and they manage to like leap across into the like the barrier.
Yeah.
And they stand along the barrier and they run around and they like manage to jump back to the ring. There's
what?
A ton.
It's like their feet didn't touch.
Yeah. Oh, as long yeah. as it's very much like, it, in a way, it's like kind of playground rules of like the floor
bit.
Is lava.
Floor is lava.
And
yeah.
they really mess around with it. Like they yeah. make sure every now and then like a wrestler gets really close or like has 1 foot. But one in the women's rumble, a woman got thrown off, and then there was
Naomi, I think it's
yeah,
name,
and this wrestler named Otis was laying down on the ground on
she
the side,
on
and
him?
She landed on top of him.
Nice.
And then she was able to stand up on top of him and then like leap back into the ring. They have like tons of bits like that planned. It's really fun.
Yeah,
it's nuts, man. And like
it was cool.
They get tossed around like
they
we
had never seen wrestling before.
No, I'd never been to a match.
Same.
And like they're destroying. Oh. Like they got thrown into the announcer stand and every like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's a fake announcer stand. Like there were TV screens and all this equipment set up. And I mean, a guy got thrown it and just destroyed it. Like it just all got annihilated.
And you guys got tickies right at like the floor. Like
I
saw you guys on television.
They really took care of us. Because again, we're kind of spoiled now because we had never seen any kind of wrestling match. Just being there would have been enough. But like we were literally behind the announcer's first row, like floor level. So people kept tweeting us like, hey, I just saw you on TV. Is that you? And they were like, your face looked like a kid in a candy store. But
yeah.
as cool as it was, you know, there were times where I didn't really know how to react. Like I was cheering for everybody as they came out. But then there was like, I think 4 or 5 people into the like women's battle royale or Royal Rumble. I was like, yeah. And then everyone tapped me and they were like, no. And I was like,
not her.
She's the baddest one.
Brock Lesnar like, got when he got taken out, Matt Robb was just like, yeah, you suck. Yeah. And Brock Lesnar looked right at Matt Robb. It was great.
And then Matt Robb just shrunk.
Oh, yeah.
I have a photo of like the guy who defeated Brock Lesnar like stamping around on stage as Brock Lesnar like looks up at like me and Matt's area. It's kind of a cool shot.
It's definitely dope. You get into it. Like, I went in not knowing much about it, but by the end, you're like, yeah, boo! You suck, Brock Lesnar! Fuck you!
Yeah, Trent Reznor sure is me. It's a band joke for some very specific people. There you go.
It's a Nine Inch Nails reference?
Yep, Trent Reznor.
Oh, Brock Lesnar, Trent Lesnar.
Yep.
Ooh, that's a tongue twister.
Yep. I'm warming up Brock Lesnar, Trent Reznor, Brock Lesnar, Trent Reznor.
But there's a lot of comparisons to it. Like, I mean, we realized wrestling is anime.
It is, in a lot of ways.
It's essentially anime. Like, the storylines are anime, the way that it's like, oh no, he's about to get beaten. He's like unconscious, like, oh no, get up, Roman Reigns, like,
everyone
you can
in the
do
audience
it.
Is like, and just stand like, up, we believe in you.
Yeah. He'll like slowly get
that's
up.
That's all it took. They just had to believe in me.
But literally, that's, we even made that joke because we talked about it with like a, you know, certain movie that came out recently. It's like, oh no, now he's gonna believe harder, and that's how he's gonna defeat him. Like,
that's
how it goes.
That's how it works. You just have to do harder.
Do more of it.
Yeah.
That's why I hate singing movies and singing like TV shows.
Because they just have to sing harder?
Yeah, like the DreamWorks Sing that came out or whatever. Uh-huh. It's literally just like, if you want to make a difference, you're going to have to go out there and sing the best, most goodest, the most you ever did. And then it's like, now I am, now I can do it.
That's, I mean, if you think about it, every movie in some, in a lot of ways,
lot of
is the
that moment.
Do that harder. Like I watched Ford versus Ferrari and they were like, you just got to press the gas pedal harder. And then you suddenly speed past the other person. Mm. You just gotta gas pedal harder.
Yes.
What if I just drive car better?
In a race? It'll never work.
What if I just shift? I need to shift harder.
I think I know how we win this race. We've been going at 80 miles per hour, but what if we just decide to go at 90 miles per hour?
Whoa. No.
No.
I only had this gas pedal pressed down halfway. What if I pushed it all the way?
It's amazing how that trope is used over and over again, but still, every time it's used, there's a part of me that's still always just kind of like, fuck yeah, dude.
But no, totally.
You have to add in the trope where it's just like, why are you always pressing it down halfway? It's like, when I was 10 years old, my brother and I pressed it down all the way. He popped. Now, I don't do that anymore. And then it's just like, your brother would want you to press down the pedal more. And it's just like, you're right.
I think that's literally the plot of the first Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Movie. Really?
Yeah.
I think I've seen the first one. Wow.
It's like, because it's like his father's car. And he's just like, I don't drive it. It scares me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, all right, I'll drive it.
When he does a burnout and a wheelie at the same time, which is physically impossible.
It's physically impossible
to do both.
You didn't leave without
again,
somebody.
It's badass.
Oh, it's super badass.
Like they had to literally rig the car because it was real. It's a practical effect. Mm. They had to rig it so that like it would do a burnout, and then they had like some kind of piston down below that pushed the car up to do a wheelie.
That's insane.
I'm guessing the director or somebody or the writer was like, yeah, and then the car burns out and then does a wheelie, and then like the special effects people are like,
what the hell?
Yeah.
Amazing.
But yeah, it's so funny like how common that trope is in any kind of like racing movie. They shift and then suddenly they go way faster. And it's like, oh, all we got to do is shift again.
Yep.
Nick Cage shifting forever.
Wait, what is that?
It's this YouTube video. Someone cut it's Gone in 60 Seconds, right?
No, it's the beginning of The Rock.
Oh,
FBI.
This beginning of the movie called The Rock where, and they take this chase sequence, but they cut it down so it looks like he just steals a car and crashes it within 10 seconds. So it's him literally like, get out of the car, FBI. He gets in the car and she's like,
it's just all the in-car driving shots of him.
Wow.
Just like steering and shifting and then steering and steering and then he just crashes.
You're going down. Mr. Cage, we've just had a movie offer sent to your office. Yes, I'll do it.
You don't.
Yeah. Yes, I'll do it. I don't want to read it. I can't do it.
I read the script. It's great. You don't have a script. That's a menu for tender greens on your computer.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do the backyard steak.
Apparently his new movie that just came out is good.
Is that the one where he plays himself?
Well, no, it's the one where it's aliens, something like.
Oh, we didn't say we weren't going to see it. Spoiling.
Oh, I heard about the one where he's playing himself, but that's not being filmed yet, right? Or it's just starting.
Maybe it's been being filmed for 20 years.
It's got to be fun to be Nicolas Cage and just do any movie you want because you're in crippling debt.
Yeah. I was going to say, because you're in debt? Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be dope.
How do you end up in debt?
Have you seen the tombstone that he already bought? Or,
what? Yeah,
it's the pyramid. He bought that pyramid.
Well, it turns out.
Mausoleum or something.
It turns out when you buy a lot of castles, in Europe.
Is that right? Is that literally what
he literally?
I think that's what happened. So, fun fact, guys, if you think about buying a castle, they look cheap on the outset, but it's not the price of the castle that'll get you. It's the taxes and
castle fees. Tax.
And it's also afterwards. Feeding the serfs.
Yeah.
The serfs may have a cut of what they grow and nothing more.
So I think he owns a bunch of castles, and then because of that,
good God,
debts mount.
I don't understand. That's got to be, it's got to be a psychological thing where you just become addicted to being like, yes, I can do that. Like, I don't know. I've been in positions before where like I've been broke as a joke, mm-hmm. but spent money on stupid stuff because it's almost like a comfort to myself being like, see, I can do whatever. So maybe if you come from not having a lot and then all of a sudden you have a lot, you just want to be like, yes, yes, I can do that. I never have to worry again.
I think it's also another thing of like just running costs. So so if you've purchased a lot of things and had a lot of things going on, you have this monthly cost that it takes for to keep your livelihood up. And that's how that's how you get the sort of like Wesley Snipes of the world where, mm-hmm. you know, or the MC Hammers, where it's like everything, you know, seems affordable, but you have this constant running cost of everything. Your cost of living from month to month increases. Like I know this guy that he was, I think he was in oil or something, made a lot of money, business wasn't so great. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, just to stay afloat, I need to make $40,000 a month.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's been studies that people like, just for some reason, psychologically, we adjust to the income we're making. So you never actually get to, I don't know, people aren't good at saving. Like they're not good at going, oh, and they're going, oh, I'm making this much so I can spend this much.
I don't spend money on anything for that very reason.
I don't spend much money either, I've realized. Yeah. Like we were talking about our cars.
Yeah.
And how
my car is garbage.
And I like the car that I have, sure, in the next couple of years I could afford to get another car, but I'm like, my car works.
Yeah.
Is my mindset. I'm like, I'm gonna drive it into the ground. Because I just don't desire anything. Yeah. I'm like, it's impractical.
Yeah.
To me.
They get to the same place at the same speed, especially when you're living in Los Angeles. Like, it's all.
Not if you got a Porsche.
But you're stuck in traffic like everybody else. That's what I'm saying. And my car is from 2007 and it's had problems for a long time. It broke down when I was on a mini personal vacation on top of a mountain a couple weeks ago. And I thought I was going to be stranded and couldn't get back to Smosh for filming because there was like one small garage in the town. And it was like, well, they don't open up until Monday. And then it's like, it was literally that. And so even after being stranded on a mountain because my car broke down.
Yeah.
I'm still just like, well, it's fine. Like, I don't get it.
Wouldn't you end up spending more money on fixing this car over and over and over and over and over again?
Yes, I would. But also, right now, I don't have a car payment. So there's just a part of me that's just like, oh, I don't want to do that. And like, I'm able to save for the first time in a long time. And I've been enjoying saving. It feels nice. Like, I only spend money on like treating myself to food every once in a while. So...
Well, is it a situation where you're in the back of your head, you're saving up to potentially like buy a house someday?
I would really like that.
Because that's a little different. Because I feel like that's different. Because then you're not going, oh, I just don't spend money on anything. You're going, oh, I'm not spending money on these things because I have a bigger thing in mind.
That's fair. It's just, I think that there is a healthy balance though. Like right after So Random, I had a good amount of money in the bank, but rent in Los Angeles is so expensive that even though I did the same thing I'm doing now, I don't spend money. It was gone pretty quickly due to just rent and upkeep of life stuff, car fixings, different car, still a piece of garbage. You know, now I need to find the balance where it's like, when was the last time I bought new clothes? Mm. All my furniture doesn't match because it's hand-me-downs and I'm fine with that. But like, when did I buy new bed sheets? I need a smaller computer table because my room is unnavigable right now. Why can't I do that? I need to find a balance where it's like, it's okay to buy something.
Yeah, there is, because I remember it was a couple months ago where they were getting rid of a not a good couch here in the office. Like, it was kind of like dirty and you're like, oh, I'll take that. And I remember I looked at it and I was like, Damien, buy yourself a couch. I was like,
it's a little too big for my room. It's very dirty, but it's free.
I was like, Damien, you can do that.
But I'm kind of a hoarder in that way. I've gotten better, but remember when we were roommates? That's what I'd be like.
Well, you are the type that it's the practicality.
It's like, I'll find a use for it.
Yeah. Where you're like, oh, that'll work, that'll fit. And I'm just like, but you could also buy yourself something that like works better or whatever. But you're like, no, but this works. And I'm like, okay. No, the funniest thing when we lived together, I love, this was great. He came home and you definitely, you're not the same at all. Like,
not quite.
Because also we weren't, back in the day when we weren't making any money, that it did make more sense.
Right.
But you came home one time and you had this giant piece of driftwood.
But it was a really cool, really
It was
heavy
really
piece
cool looking. And he was just like, yeah, I found this driftwood. I'm going to use it to like make a shelf or a headboard or I forget what it was. But then it sat in our garage and our garage was filled with tons of stuff that all of us were like, I'm going to get to that at some point.
Yeah. I did just have a personal milestone in that department, though. One of our PAs on set while filming recently was like, we were talking about video game stuff, and he's like, yeah, well, I play stuff on computer sometimes, but I don't actually have a console because we would need to hook it up to a TV, and my girlfriend and I don't have a TV. And I was like, ooh, you want a TV? Because if you follow my Instagram stories, sometimes you see I had two TVs, one on top of the other. One of them I used, the other one I didn't. It was like 12 years old, but it was still there. And I was just refusing to get rid of it. So I was like, I want to give you this TV. I'm going to just get rid of it. And in return, he baked me some, like, and he and his girlfriend baked me like a little carrot cake thing. But like old Damien would have never done that. It would have been like, well, I kind of need two. What if one of them breaks? Like,
right.
It's funny. You and I are polar opposites in that fashion because I love to get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
I love to have as little as possible. Like this past weekend, even, I was like, I'm going to get rid of this bookshelf and a bunch of books that I'm just like, you know what? I read these or I've had them for years and I'm not going to read them. So I'm going to get rid of a ton of them.
Yeah,
but I do that every couple months. I get rid of a ton of stuff.
It's healthy.
Yeah,
I just don't clutter your life.
I don't like to have things that I don't use. I'm like, I want to just have the stuff that I need.
I could take a page from your book because I have this, like, you know those IKEA like 4x4 like cubbies that you get and you buy your own. Yeah, so I've had one of those for like years, and I realized recently it takes up so much space in my room. It's not very comfortable. I can't really like lean back too much when like streaming or just at my computer because of that, and I should get rid of it. But I'm like, no, those drawers are filled with things. And literally, there is one drawer I actually go into to get stuff. And it's the one that houses all my like HDMI cables and computer stuff. Otherwise, I could that thing could burn down tomorrow just by itself in a very concentrated fire. And I would not, there's not a single thing I'd be like, oh man, that thing. I should just get rid of some stuff.
Marie Kondo it.
Marie Kondo that shit.
I'm like, I like mess.
I think it's also like a, you know, some people get that takeaway when they travel, they see how people live with less, because America, we're just used to abundance and it's just like things and stuff. And then you go somewhere else and you're like, this is nice. Like you don't need this or that or this decorative plate or this old toy from, you know, when you were a kid or whatever. Like, you know, it's
you put a lot. We put a lot of importance. It's for me. It was with books because I read this because Marie Kondo does that thing where she's like, get rid of this, get rid of this, and look at books and what books do you want to get rid of? And I remember that part had a lot of controversy. So we were like, don't get rid of books. They're really important stuff. And someone said owning a bunch of books isn't a personality trait. And I was like, and it like kind of hit, because I was like, I'm keeping a lot of books just because I'm like, oh, I love books and I just want a lot of books. And I was like, but these are a lot of books that I don't actually care about. Books that I read that I didn't even like. Mm-hmm. Why am I keeping it? Other than to just have it there. So it's like, I read that book. I'm like, I'd rather have only the books that love.
But dude, you bring a girl home, she sees you got a big ass shelf of books.
But
though?
I know she knows you're literally.
I'd rather bring someone home and have like a set of books that I love and could talk about so that they go, oh, those books. I'm like, yes, those are my favorite books. I've read more, but those are my favorites. Also, since I live in an apartment and, you know, in LA, moving just happens a lot more. I like knowing that when I move, it's not going to be that hard. I love that idea.
You know what? Thinking about your apartment, that would be the easiest move ever. Moving is never easy, but damn, you've done a good job.
I do not. So I replaced a lot of my furniture in this past year with like lighter furniture. So that I'm just like, because with that in mind, but also like, it's not like it doesn't look good. It's just like, it works.
And
I like to be half nomad. You know,
that was the bit when we did your house tour video. Everyone's like, did Damien really steal Shane's table and chairs? And it's like, well, yes, but I was stoked to like get rid of
beforehand. I was like, well, yeah, we had planned on you taking all that stuff for a while.
So I was like, why don't I just steal it for the
let's
video?
Just do this.
Yeah,
is that too inside baseball?
No, behind the
scenes.
Of course, people probably thought you just brought it right back, but
yeah, no, it's in my home,
and I do own that many candles.
He really does.
That's true. He's a candle boy.
Love candles. Candles are great.
The wrestling is great. You guys feel like you're going to go to more wrestling matches?
You were saying at the end that you might be, like, you could see yourself getting into it.
I like passion. Mm. I like when people are passionate about a thing. And, like, I know you like cars. So if you were ever like, Damien, I want to show you this really cool car-related thing, even if it's not my thing, I would love doing that.
Right.
Same thing. If Matt Robb was just like, yeah, we're all going to this wrestling event and invited me along, I'd be super down.
Yeah, I feel the same way with wrestling. It's as long as you have somebody that's there that's that's enthusiastic about it and they're not a snob about it and they're just like, they're welcoming you into their passion and sharing it with you and explaining the things that you don't understand, and you're kind of like there cheering along.
Show me
with it.
Why this is amazing. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, and Mari and Matt were so into it.
They were like,
it's infectious to not.
Yeah.
Like, they're pumped about it.
They were so happy.
And also, there's just so much crowd participation.
Mm-hmm.
At wrestling, like, everyone is just so involved in it. Like you said, with like Brock Lesnar, where everyone's like, fuck you, because nobody likes Brock Lesnar. He's a human rhino.
And like, he literally is. And like, what's fun is like, they participate. Whereas like, in sports, they're doing their best to ignore the crowd for the most part. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, when Brock Lesnar got thrown out and everyone's just like, you suck, you, or whatever. And he's looking at the crowd. He's like, stop, be quiet.
He's like, shut up.
Yeah, it's like great. And I'm like, and I know he's playing along with it. Or like Roman Reigns stands up, but like there's a wrestler like sneaking up behind him. Everyone's like, Roman behind you.
Look out, Roman.
It's definitely, and like you find yourself doing it by the end.
I will say the one thing that kind of confused me is, so random thing, I auditioned for a WWE-related voiceover thing way back in the day, so I researched a lot of these characters, like, right when I was starting out. We're talking, like, 7 years ago. And so seeing them now, like, these characters undergo changes and evolution and all that stuff. And there's one called Daniel Bryan, who's known for being, like, he just dresses like he didn't know there was a match that day.
Yeah.
He's just, like,
his
a normal
thing is that
dude.
He's a normal guy.
He's a normal guy, but he's positive. So his word is yes, and it's all about the yes movement. So everyone's just like, yes, yes, Daniel Bryan. So watching his evolution now, they've paired him against this other wrestler called The Fiend, or it's someone's like alter ego where it's like supposed to be a literal demon that just torments him. But from what I've seen, there is such little wrestling that actually happens between them. Daniel Bryan just gets the snot kicked out of him for like 15 straight minutes, just being whipped with leather. And every once in a while, he'll just look up and be like, like he's really thinking like, maybe I do have it in me to get back up. But in the audience is like here for it, but he also keeps losing. So when he finally lost again this time, I was like, what did I just watch? This was like a snuff film.
Well, that's to set up further. Like, it's a continuous storyline that continues forever.
Because
there was no back and forth, though. There wasn't like a pull of like, is he going to do it this time? He just got hit on the ground with 15 minutes with rocks. Just like hitting him on the head with rocks.
I think when I went, the Fiend showed up and kicked his ass. But it was like really confusing. No, it was, I think it was somebody else, but it was just like really confusing.
But I think
that's
part of Daniel Bryan's bit, maybe, is that like he's the underdog who's going to keep getting the crap beaten out
of him
eventually.
But you want to see the underdog succeed.
But he will eventually.
Yeah.
He will eventually beat the Fiend.
He looks like a homeless Mormon. Is how I
what
would
a explain. Specific
That's
sentence.
Accurate. If it goes a couple more matches or years and he just keeps losing, and then the Fiend's like, "Well, I'm retiring and I'm the champion," then I would agree. But I think they're having him keep beating him so that people are like, wow, he's going to keep beating him. So that the match where Daniel Bryan does win, it's like, oh my God, he finally did it.
And he chooses to believe harder.
But that's the thing. They start off the match every time with him being like, this time I'm believing harder. And you guys are the ones who fueled this movement, the yes movement of positivity. And I was like, yeah, yes. Like, so that moment's already there. He has to get close sometimes for us to be like,
I thought he got close a couple times.
For like 1 minute out of the 30 that he was just getting his shit rocked.
Look, Damien, we're wrestling fans.
I know. I guess we are now. But I was
there
just like, damn.
That's how it happens.
It's not like a rivalry thing. It's not a back and forth thing. He's just getting bullied.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will also say, like, I know like that they plan it out, but man, they do actually get thrown the hell around.
Yeah.
There's some stuff where I was like, that definitely could have broken. And there was a couple times also where they like, those wrestlers would like walk off and you're like, that guy's actually hurt.
Yeah.
That person got messed up.
And the craziest thing is, then they get in a plane and fly to a different town and do it the next day. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, they literally have something tonight.
Yeah.
After that show that we saw last night.
I don't know how, like, they are without a doubt, like, athletes.
But they're all, they're all really nice people and they're all huge nerds.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
what blows my mind. Every single wrestler that I've met has been really, really sweet, like sweet people.
Yeah.
And they're dorks. Like we talked to, who was the wrestler that we, or the guy that we
Xavier.
Talked to? Well, Xavier yeah, Woods, but AKA we were also, we were talking to at Up, Up, Down, Down about Dark Souls and everything.
Yes. Adam Cole, is that the name?
Yeah.
Or no, I can't remember. It looks like he could be related to you and Tanner.
Yeah. but they all like, they all love video games. They, a lot of them love anime or comic books and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you think about it, all those guys grew up as wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. They were fans themselves.
Yeah.
And then they had a dream to become wrestlers and they were one of the many few that actually made it.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, New Day, all those guys are total nerds.
Such nerds.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny because Matt Robb has always told me there's like such a crossover between Smosh fans and wrestling fans. And I've always believed it, but never in my life have I gotten so many tweets and messages at the same time from a single event.
That's a lot.
Like people have seen stuff before and been like, hey, I've seen you on this thing. But like my feed was just flooded with people being like, is that you behind the announcer?
Yeah.
So I liked as many as I could.
Yeah. But yeah. Smosh wrestling fans, we out here.
Are you a wrestling boy?
No, I think I'm on the same page as y'all, where it's just I don't know a whole lot about it, but I can appreciate it.
A part of me wants to watch more of it, but it's the same with for me. It's the same with like NBA, where for the past couple of years I've been like, God, I want to watch more basketball games. It's just hard to add another thing to be a fan of when I'm like, I just don't have the time. Like I love TV and movies and football, and I'm like adding another sport. I just can't.
Well, it's also
like,
ongoing.
And there's like a storyline that you
have to, like, you really
like
have
with
to
basketball.
Commit to it.
With basketball, it's like, oh, did they win or did they lose?
Yeah.
Who scored more points? Did anyone get injured? And there you have it. That's your update. But with this, it's like, well, this guy said this thing about him backstage. But what you didn't know is that her brother got beaten up outside the arena by this guy's friend.
There's a lot to it because
it was so much.
It was towards like the middle of the match when Brock Lesnar was throwing a bunch of people around, and then this guy Drew McIntyre gets in, which everybody like knew and was like, oh my god! And he gets in, and they look at each other, and Drew McIntyre goes, "I've been waiting for this moment for a long time, you son of a bitch!" And I'm just like, "What?
Whoa.
What? Yeah. What's this?"
Yeah.
So I'm like, "There's a lot going on." And then this guy, which everybody who watches WWE knows this, but all of a sudden, like the announcement of like another contender, and this guy named Edge comes out, and everybody freaks the hell out. And I was like, who
you could feel
who is this? And Matt Robb was like, he's been retired for, or he's been out for 13 years. I'm like,
whoa.
So you really have to be committed for a long time.
Yeah. Because
I was like, bro, like football, you can hop into the next season and be like, okay, great.
Can you imagine if Brett Favre just showed up for a game? He's like, I'm back.
It kind of did. Back, it kind of low-key happens.
It's what it is. So the cool thing about the Royal Rumble, too, is, you know, like I said, every 2 minutes someone comes out. So they'll put up a countdown of 10 seconds, like 9, 8. And then they don't show the person right away. You'll hear their signature intro music start, and then it pops up on screen. So it's this moment of just like, I saw one of the announcer guys sort of look back at the audience to be like, oh, he's about to check our reaction. Someone big is coming. I know this. And then Edge's music starts. I forget how it goes, but you just hear the first couple notes. And all of a sudden, everyone's like,
people were freaking out. But it's got to be cool. Like if people like Matt Robb, I know, goes to a lot of, like the indie scene wrestling.
Yeah.
And literally
absolute
like
absolute craziness. Mm.
But he loves it. And he says it's even like he likes it even more in some ways. But like the guy who won the Royal Rumble, Matt Robb was like, yeah, I saw him in a local wrestling match like 2 years ago. And I'm like, that's got to be cool to watch people go from like just seeing him in a small venue in LA and see them blow up to the national level. That's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To follow it like that. I'm like, that's cool.
A lot of things to be a fan of. What are you guys a fan of right now in terms of books or movies or anything like that?
Oh, good question.
Ooh, just stuff.
Just stuff.
You know, Damien was watching this anime that he told me.
And now you're past
watching. Now I think I watched more because it's way up my alley. It's called Vinland Saga, and it's just Vikings. It's literally Vikings, like the History Channel show, but it's anime. And it's very
from
grounded.
From what I can tell, there's like no magic, nothing special. It's like grounded. Like if someone gets stabbed, like, oops, that's it. Like it's which is cool. It adds stakes.
It's pretty cool.
Then I'm reading
this.
They stab people with them.
Yeah.
Stakes. Or make people out of them.
No, so you're thinking of Wempires, and that's already way too magic. It's not magic at all. Nope, nope, nope.
Do they skip the whole... the not so good things that Vikings do, if you catch my drift?
From what I can tell,
they don't
know.
They don't show that stuff, but they don't hide. Like, the Vikings, like all the characters are garbage humans.
Yeah,
because like Vikings, they're all like, yes, I like killing.
There's like one or two people that you're rooting for who are sort of like victims of circumstance, without spoiling too much, and then everyone around it is just like, wow, what a massive gray area you occupy all the time. And I think that's what makes it interesting, because you don't have that typical like, this guy's the hero and we like them the most. But again, you're farther than I am, so I don't know. But Leif Erikson is literally a character that shows up in the first episode. Literally, it's like, hi, it's me, Leif Erikson, or Leif Erikson, I don't know how to say.
Yeah. But, no, all the characters are brutal.
Vinland Saga?
Vinland Saga. I recommend it.
Yeah.
All right.
And then
Amazon Prime.
Ah, damn.
And then...
you have Prime.
I don't have Prime.
You don't have Prime?
I don't have Prime.
You've got to be the only person I've ever met who doesn't have Prime.
Yeah, I don't have Prime.
What do you do when you need two-day shipping?
I go to a fucking store and buy it.
You leave your house?
Yeah, and I don't have to wait 2 days.
I feel bad. So I have this All Might statue now on my desk. Little side note. And All Might is a character from an anime that we all love. I have a little statue for my desk, and that's my first bit of desk decoration. And I went to a local comic shop to get it because I had seen it in their window before. So I was like, yes, support the locals. And when I showed up and I was like, hey, do you still have that All Might statue? They look at each other and they go, we sold it an hour ago. And I was like, well,
Amazon.
It is. Yeah, it sucks. But I was like, man, that's too bad. Like, and they didn't do anything wrong, but I tried.
Yeah. I don't buy things online. I'm a Luddite.
Is it out of like principle? You just want to support local stuff, or is it just, you know, it's just not your thing?
I'm often the same, but it's out of impatience. Like, I'll just run to Best Buy and get it.
Yeah.
Support your local mom and pop Best Buy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not helping anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't feel the need to buy things online. Literally, the last thing that I bought online, which I don't buy things online, but last thing I bought online were these movie posters. They're, some people might have seen this thing on Twitter. In the country of Ghana in Africa, between like 1970 and 2000, basically there was a lot of factors that led to this, but basically the government banned printing presses to avoid dissent. I guess it was hard to get like movie materials. There was these sort of mobile movie theaters that would go around to like the rural areas of Ghana, and they would show movies. But since they didn't have access to the movie posters, they would hire local artists.
Oh, I have seen this.
Yeah, to paint movie posters. Thing is, they didn't always like watch the movie or really know what the movie was. So sometimes they painted these posters and they do not represent the movie at all.
That's like, awesome.
There's one for Mrs. Doubtfire that I saw that has Mrs. Doubtfire ramming a broomstick through a guy's head, and there's like blood everywhere.
What?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so wait. So you got some of these?
I read the article and I immediately went to eBay.
Of course you did.
And bought four.
Are they like legit from that time?
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's incredible.
So I bought one no, these ones they're not as funny as like the Mrs. Doubtfire one.
Sure.
Because those ones people scooped up already. But they're all original pieces of art. And they aren't, because of the weather, that, you know, printing on paper wasn't conducive to what they needed. So what they did was they stitched flower bags together and then painted on those.
Awesome. Cool.
So it is a 6-foot poster.
What?
Yeah, it's a 6-foot poster, each of them. I got one that's True Lies.
Amazing.
Which I gifted to Finnerty.
Oh, cool.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's face. For some reason, the faces, they're not too good at the faces. They're good at like drawing muscles. And they're all different artists, but sometimes the faces just look bad. I got, since Mari's a big The Rock fan,
sure,
I found one for Walking Tall.
Okay,
where
solid.
The painting work is actually really good, but he looks a little Guatemalan.
Okay, specific.
That's very specific.
I got one for Matt Robb, because I hit him up and I was like, hey, if you were to get some sort of movie memorabilia from these possible things. So I got him a poster of Three Ninjas.
Oh, of course. Solid. You got that one. Yeah.
And then I got Enter the Dragon.
For yourself?
And For now.
Dragon?
No, it is Bruce Lee like doing a pose, and his face looks terrible.
Hell yeah!
And they spelled his name wrong, nice. Which is like my favorite part.
Impressive.
Oh my god!
Bruce
is it B R U S E? Is that like what?
No,
what
they
could
did
L
I I.
Oh,
so
okay,
not bad.
Wait, but you're telling me you did this online? Why didn't you support your local Ghanaian movie poster shop
painter from the
70s? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
man, yeah, real, sorry. Real low of you.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Why don't you go to Best Buy and see what you can find?
That's true.
Otherwise,
unlike me, who goes to Walmart?
Yeah, that was a. That, it's just a funny. It's a part. It's part prank because I feel like by gifting these, they feel like they have to put them up somewhere in their house.
A 6 foot
it's
tall.
It's more of
poster.
A curse that you've yes. put, yeah. cast upon them.
Yep.
Yeah, how's that going to work for you? You have a cat. I mean, if it's stitched flower bags,
well,
and
I'm
you have
assuming
a cat,
it's in a frame.
Is it going to climb up a 6 foot frame?
Mm, I never thought about that. See, you think about cat stuff.
Yeah.
I don't.
You could probably put it in a. You can get a 6 foot glass frame.
Oh my god, that's probably expensive.
6 feet.
Movie posters come in, and I mean, movie posters are much smaller than that. But you can definitely get one. It'll cost a lot, but
it's gonna be very expensive.
Yeah.
But also, if it's on the wall, like, is a cat gonna look at that on the wall and jump?
I don't
up
know
into
where
it?
I'm gonna hang a 6 foot movie poster in my house.
Yes.
It's gigantic.
Yes. I don't know. My cats have gotten a lot better about it, but they used to try to like climb up the curtains and Zelda is fat.
But the
as
curtains
hell.
Go down to the floor. So if this is like hung up a little bit higher.
But how tall are his ceilings?
You could put it in like the stairway area probably.
I don't want to look at it that much.
What have you done to yourself?
It's a little cursed. Like they're a little cursed.
Cursed
like,
images?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I just gave it to Matt Robb and he's like, I had no idea how demonic these children's faces look on this poster. Like they like one kid's eyes are just black.
That's awesome. Phenomenal.
That's awesome.
That sounds so cool though.
One of them they could be cursed. You don't know.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm.
they've been around for a couple of decades.
Yeah.
Like that gives enough time for curses to be laid upon them.
But I think it's just such a cool little because I like history stuff, so I think it's just like a cool
like Three Ninjas
bit of like movie history.
Historical documentary.
Yeah.
One thing I really like this about you, Ian, you're excited about this thing and you're telling us about this thing and you ordered four of them and you're like, so I gave this one to this person, this one to that person. Like, that's your instinct. You seem to be a very gifty man.
I don't usually do gifts.
Oh.
No,
that's wrong.
Well, I'm usually, no.
Idiot.
That's fair. No, I guess, I mean, I like to, fine. Yeah, I don't know. Like I saw it and I was like, oh, this would be kind of a funny, I don't know how much I was doing it for me or doing it for them because there is something really funny to forcing somebody to put a giant, terribly painted Three Ninjas poster in their house.
I mean, you know Matt Robb loves that shit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know Infinity what you have to do now is to do. Schedule hangouts with them within 2 weeks and just be like, so where'd you end up putting it?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They
that's
have to
rough.
Do it. Yep.
That's rough.
Yep. Infinity's got a family. I hope it scares them.
Yeah, I don't because I was like, do you? I was like, would you want this? Because I don't want to force it on anybody.
Right.
But if they take it, they better damn well
what
put it up somewhere.
What movie did you get him again?
True Lies.
Okay,
Lies.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
His son is just terrified of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Arnold's face is a little bit messed up in the.
You watched that Jamie Lee Curtis movie? Oh! You know the last thing I splurged on was actually it was a. Couple weeks ago, I decided to finally get an Oculus Quest.
That's great.
Oh, dude, I've been looking for that freaking thing.
You just have to order it, and it's
you have to order it online.
So I ordered it a while ago, and by the time this pod comes out, it still might not have gotten. It's just it takes a while. Like it's like you order it, and it comes to you in like 2 months.
Yeah, because I kept checking Best Buy.
They're never gonna have it. You have to order it from the website, and it's gonna take a minute. But I was just like, you know what? It's about time I get one because I love it.
You've been talking about it, and I'm happy
know,
that
I think,
you did.
I think it's that fear of becoming the person who's home alone in their apartment just in VR day in and
we're
day
not
out.
Yet. We're not there yet.
On the Quest either. It's not very good. You made the wrong choice. No, I'm kidding. No.
The Quest is like a very like it's arcade game type stuff, which is so it's very temporary games, but like super hot. I could play for hours.
Totally.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Like, and
no,
also,
no. I know. I'm just like,
I remember when PlayStation VR first came out, and I would go over to Joe's place. We got a mutual buddy named Joe. Hi, Joe. And he's not listening. And we would just play like Fruit Ninja for a few hours. Like it was
it's
a lot of fun.
It's dumb fun.
Yeah.
But that was it's pricey.
It's like $400, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. But Daniel. It's great. I love that stuff.
It's a lot cheaper than buying a different kind of VR thing and having to pay for the PC that goes along with it. Exactly. Like,
and I like it because I can travel with it.
Yep.
Like if you're staying in a hotel somewhere, I'm like, just pop that on.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
It's really cool.
Bring that on the tour bus. I mean, obviously,
I'm not going to have it.
I wonder how that motion will work with you being on a tour bus. I wonder if it will consider that you're moving.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe.
I really think it has to do with I think it bases it all off the floor that you then connect it to. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
That's my one thing that's holding me back from VR. I would want to get one of the ones attached to my computer because I do gaming stuff on my PC, but like I don't have room. And even so, like Mark has a Quest, Matt's brother, my roommate Mark. He has a Quest and he'll just chill with it downstairs sometimes. But even then, I'll like be down there and I'll have to be like, "Hey man, you got a cat coming at your feet in a couple seconds here," and you know, just like don't step on my cat daughters.
I think as long as you have like a good like 8-foot square area, which I barely have, then you're fine. Because you can set it up for
that. But there are those other ones that you have to set up and they have like sensors in the corners of the room. So it literally maps out the space.
That's a lot.
See,
that's what
work.
I want. That's fun.
Too much work.
The Quest is just simple enough for me. Yeah. And I'm also ordering it and a month later Animal Crossing comes out. And
oh my God.
What I focus on.
I can't wait.
Why? You're obsessed with Animal Crossing?
We talked about this on the trip. Shane, what are your thoughts on like siblings and Animal Crossing?
Okay, so I have funny little dumb Animal Crossing story. I was talking about when we were, it was yesterday, where I was talking about Animal Crossing and how I've been obsessed with that game series since I was young. When it came out for GameCube, not many people bought it back then. Like, at least not
states away. There I was waiting to be your friend playing Animal Crossing.
In Arizona, I was the only person I knew playing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe I was like 11, 12 at the time. No, even younger. No, around, yeah. But anyways, I remember playing it and my friends coming over and being like, "What's this game?" And I was like, "So you're a guy and you moved to a town where all your neighbors are animals and so you're in debt and you have to you fish and you can pick up fruit and if you can do favors for your animal neighbors and if you do that they might give you wallpaper." If you describe Animal Crossing, it's the dumbest game, but it's somehow the most addictive game on the planet.
It's a lot of fun.
Nothing happens. Nothing happens. There are zero stakes.
Wow.
Less stakes than Minecraft.
I think it paved the way for games like Stardew Valley and things like that. I mean, obviously Harvest Moon came before all of it, but like casual games just to have an experience. I think sometimes we lose track of what a game is supposed to be. And, you know, nothing wrong with those like really intense, really serious games and there's PvP and all that stuff. But it's just nice to sit down and be like, "Oh, my neighbor might give me wallpaper." Like, I remember when I was a youngster, I had that like ability to connect the Game Boy Advance to my GameCube. And I also had that like e-reader. There was like a card reader for it. And I bought one pack of Animal Crossing cards and I would spend like a day swiping the same card so that Bruce the Eagle would send me a stereo system, which I figured out was the most expensive thing that a friend could send me. And then I would just make a crap ton of money and be like, "Time to like make my own museum in my house. No stakes, nothing mattered. It
was
just fun.
You can just do whatever you want." Yeah. Yeah. I love the games where you have to collect stuff. They get me.
They're satisfying.
There's a good lineup of video games this year, man.
Yes.
And we got a break right now, but Animal Crossing comes out.
I'm so sad Cyberpunk got delayed.
I'm stoked. I'm glad.
But I'm glad they're doing it. But, well, okay, this might be a call in it.
Oh, are we
calling it?
Let's do calling it.
All right. Sorry.
What's your calling it?
My calling it, Cyberpunk is going to be a letdown.
So, dude, I planned my calling it. My calling it is that Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be a letdown.
Ooh, y'all are killing
I think,
me.
And I'm hoping it's a jinx, but I have a feeling Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to come out and people are going to be like, "You know, we should have just let it be a classic." Yeah. That's going to be my fear. I don't think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be mediocre. I think it's going to be like just like same level or a little bit worse than Final Fantasy XV.
I'm going to jump on both of y'all's calling it.
Okay. And you're going to say they're both amazing.
Not quite. No, I'm not quite that contradictory. Final Fantasy VII is set up to fail no matter what, because I can think of no other game that is remembered as fondly as that. Like, it's literally like, what's your favorite band? The Beatles. Like, it's what's your favorite game? Well, this, and Final Fantasy VII, of course. Everybody has such good nostalgic memories of it. And even if you don't, if you never played it, you've heard about how good it is. So with this remake, there are going to be changes. The gameplay style is completely different. You are also no longer 8 years old in your room during summer break and have all day to play it and just get lost in it. It's going to be different. The battle system, from what I can tell, is more like Final Fantasy 15 or like a Kingdom Hearts, whereas we were used to that turn-based strategy thing, which is also not a format that works in the modern day.
Oh, it's real time now?
Very much. Yeah, it's real time. Ooh. Like, it's literally moving in 3D, and they've shown things in the trailer that aren't quite, familiar from the past games. So, like, I think it's going to be a great game, but I don't think there's a single damn thing that they could do to please the fans. So I think it's going to get good critic reviews, it's going to get horrible audience reviews, and it will be a good game. That is me calling it.
I think it's a pretty decent call in it. Mm.
You think Cyberpunk is going to be let down? I don't know if I can get on that, just because the footage, that 40 minutes of gameplay that I saw looks so impressive, but there's a lot of factors. I mean, it could be bad.
That 40 minutes, while I sucked up every moment of it, I was not impressed.
I also have a hard time believing that the people who made Witcher 3 could make a bad game.
There's one major difference there. Witcher has so much book lore to go off of, which is interesting. But
isn't Witcher 3 completely their own story?
Yes, but they built it off of that kind of stuff in the first place. Cyberpunk was like its own D&D kind of deal. So they have like lore books to go off of, but not stories necessarily. Yeah. Mm. But sorry, I cut you right off.
I really like the writing of The Witcher. I thought that was really fun in the game. I thought there's well-written characters. It seemed like Cyberpunk is just, it's coming off like really edgy. We're like, oh shit, I gotta get this gun. Oh, fuck you. And it just coming off a little too like edgy, where I think maybe when Cyberpunk comes out, if I was 17, it would be my favorite game. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's not going to have the same kind of adult appeal as The Witcher. And I feel like the reason it got delayed, and who knows, but I think they've created such a massive game. They're loading a game with stuff.
And I'm worried it's going to be too complicated.
Yeah. Mm. There's just going to be a lot of stuff, a lot of tasks, and it won't be focused enough to deliver like a good, interesting narrative. And when a game promises too much, like you could do anything, you could do this, you could do that. Yeah. Like, I think a good example is like Deus Ex, and sorry for the people that don't play video games, this is gonna be too annoying maybe. But for Deus Ex, like they had the same kind of thing where like, you could do anything. Like you could go stealth, you could go, you could hack, you can just go and shoot everyone. Mm-hmm. There were open world elements to it, but a lot of the missions were sort of like hallways with alternate routes, mm-hmm. where it was a little bit more focused in the gameplay. I'm a little worried that we're just going to get a game that has a lot of stuff and has like some good stuff in it, but a lot of monotony.
That could definitely be a drawback, but I could also see it being an advantage. And actually hearing you say that is something that's gotten me a little bit more excited about the game, because first of all, I'm a little biased. I really like fantasy settings. So if it is The Witcher, if it's Skyrim, you feel like you're able to I want to be in this world, this forest, and there's dragons and caves with treasures. This is like a city setting. It's metropolitan. It's cyberpunk. So that could be one thing that turns me off about it. But if they do make it more, if they are going to go off of the sort of D&D aspect of it, and you are making kind of your own character and your own story, there are aspects of like Fallout and Skyrim, which are pretty universally loved games, that have that kind of stuff where you can do anything, but there's focus within it. Like Skyrim, it's just like you can join the Dark Brotherhood or the Thieves Guild or you can become a Shield Brother and that kind of stuff. And you can do all of it if you want, but like it might be the kind of thing that we keep remaking characters and being like, okay, this one I'm going to play all thiefy. Yeah. And if that's the case, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, you're totally right. Because I think I'm also just trying to hype myself down because I am very hyped up.
Yeah, and it's been hyped a lot.
I fuck so hard with cyberpunk like style.
Same.
Like altered carbon.
Oh, it's not my thing at all.
Blade Runner. Wow. Like, oh my god, just pump that shit into my veins. Cool. I love it. So
there hasn't been really like a big game in that type of setting.
Well, there's Deus Ex, kind of.
Right.
Like they kind of skitter along that line, and I was like, yes, baby, yes.
Well, hopefully we're wrong, but I hope so. If we're right, that means Last of Us Part 2 is going to be Game of the Year.
Yeah,
or Animal Crossing coming out in March.
Animal Crossing will never win Game of the Year, even if it is.
Anybody's going to be playing it is not going to want to leave their console for long enough to vote for it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just want to know when the next Strand type game is going to come out. You know?
Yeah.
Let's see that next Strand type game.
Video game Jima.
A lot of people who played that game really defend it. Spencer defends that game wholeheartedly.
Games are just not for everybody all the time. So sometimes the same thing where you're like, wow, this is art and I'm really enjoying it. Someone might be like, this isn't at all what I thought. I think that's some of the difficulty that comes with the enigma that Hideo Kojima creates around himself. If you guys don't know, that's the person that used to do all the Metal Gear Solid games. Because when you're trying to be like, we don't even know what this game is yet, you're going to whatever, then people make up in their own minds what they want it to be. And when it's not that, you're going to please a very specific and small group of people.
It reminds me, there's so much content out there that I realize I don't ever allow myself to play a game that I know is considered bad going into it. And same with TV shows. But I think it's why The Witcher did so good was because it was finally a show that was popular enough and everyone was watching it. It's not a critically acclaimed great show, right? Critics
were wishy-washy on it.
It's not, but it also is a very imperfect show, but that's kind of why it's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was finally
I loved that show.
But no, I loved it, but I hadn't loved a not great show in so long because I hadn't watched one because there's so much stuff. I have such a large queue of shows that are apparently so good that I got to keep watching them. But they're also very similar in style where it's very slow paced and subtle, whatever. That I'm like, I don't get to watch something that's a popcorn thing or play a game that's also not perfect every now and then.
That's why I enjoy Danganronpa so much, because the people who love it flip and love it. But its reviews are good, but it's not 10 out of 10 perfect game. It was none of my friends play this except for Kevin now. What's up, Kevin? We're going to talk about it. But none of my friends play this. It's not something I'm going to connect with a bunch of people on. It's just for me. It came out a few years ago. It's not the coolest thing. I can't. Yeah, but
that was
The Witcher. The Witcher was the biggest surprise for me. The Netflix show.
I mean, man, it's I think maybe by this time the pods come out, it's the most the most watched first season on Netflix.
There is a thing about that, not to poo-poo it, but Netflix changed the way they started reporting their numbers. It used to be a certain percentage watched. Now it's if you watch 2 minutes of something, it counts as a full view because nobody accidentally watches two
Lame.
Minutes. So I think it did do better than Stranger Things, but it's sort of the same kind of thing where 80,000 becomes 1 million and it's the same statistic.
Netflix completely controls their own statistics and they don't share them with anybody.
So
they can say whatever the hell they want for publicity purposes.
Sure.
But anecdotally, everyone I know who watched it loves it.
People
are obsessed with it. And it was a different viewing experience than I've had in a while.
Yeah.
It was it was fantasy Fast and the Furious.
I will say though, that dragon stuff.
That episode
corny.
Was my least favorite.
It was a little corny.
But the talking
it felt
dragon.
It felt like an 80s TV show with better graphics.
It felt like Dragonheart.
It literally was what's up? I'm here. I'm the main guy. I'm going to have sex with women. And it's just kind of awesome.
Cool, man.
Hell yeah, I'm down for this.
I am the last dragon. Well, you know what? Yeah. The show is still figuring itself out. Yeah. And I don't think season two is going to be anything like season one because of the way the story is going and timeline is going. So
I'm stoked.
I'm excited too. I just think I think it was them throwing a lot of stuff at the wall, being like, even if 75% of these episodes are winners, we got a good one on our hands.
Let's see what happens. And that sword fight in the first episode is dope.
It's great. Insane. Still want them to make a Metroid TV show.
Oh, someone told me about the other day. They in chat said, check out the Metroid the movie on YouTube. Apparently someone did a fan version of it, and it's literally what you're talking about.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I haven't looked at it yet, so it could be wrong. I don't know.
Probably the worst.
Probably a lie.
Probably everyone's
probably
a
got 100 views. He's literally a kid with the camera and his cat's dressed up in an orange jumpsuit.
Damn, Samus.
I mean, a lot of those fan movie things are just
I have a hard time with them sometimes.
Sometimes they're great.
I respect the work that he's put into it.
But then it just comes, sometimes it just comes off as a weird, awkward cosplay thing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Altered Carbon really quick.
Altered Carbon. Oh,
what's
so
up?
By the time Altered this podcast Cabron. Comes out.
That's actually really funny.
That's what Matt would say.
Like, just for Altered Carbon.
Anyways, that comes out technically. The new season 2, comes out a week after this podcast comes out.
Altered Carbon comes.
That's right.
Two?
And it's with Captain. Well,
I didn't watch season 1. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a new. Like, this isn't spoiling.
There's a new Carbon.
There's a new Carbon.
Oh.
You need to watch. Oh, but are you going to watch that show?
I will. I mean, but like you were saying, there's just so much to watch that, like, when people are like, oh my God, Marvelous Miss Maisel, I'm like, yeah, I hear it's the best show ever. I don't have time. They're like, what about you? Oh, I hear it's an amazing show. Don't have time. Like, I'll get to it. Well, I will.
If this entices you, there's a fight scene where a guy fights a bunch of naked lady clones.
Whoa. It actually, I forget because there's been so many shows since that, but that show was awesome.
I remember being at Defy really, when it first came out and everyone talked about it.
It just changes a lot. Like, it's a very different type of show.
Yeah. There's one actress in there that is straight up garbage. Really bad. Like,
call her out.
Like, but it really is like sci-fi Witcher in a weird way.
Mm.
I do think it's a smarter show.
Mm. It's interesting.
Like, there's a lot more to it, and I just think it's also just really cool. Like, there's a lot that I thought
was cool about it. It's a fun world that they built.
Yeah.
This sort of, like, commentary on class warfare and stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, maybe too much of a jump, but does anyone know when the next Westworld is coming out? Because I love
that. That's supposed to be this year.
A lot.
And it's got Jesse.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. W, Mr. White, bitch.
Yo. What's up with all these androids, bitch?
I didn't sign up for all these androids, Mr. White. No, you got yourself into this. I'm getting out.
But before all this, Buy my mezcal.
Buy my mezcal. Bitch.
March 15th.
March 15th. That's soon.
Oh, my God.
Hell yeah. Oh, y'all are never going to see me again in March.
2020
is the year.
2020 is the year.
I can see clearly now 2020.
And we didn't go to war with Iran yet.
Well, so we don't know when this is going to come out.
We don't. Every day is different nowadays.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Also, for your anime fans, this year we've got the Demon Slayer movie coming out, Promised Neverland season 2, and in the fall, Attack on Titan, I believe the final season.
Okay, I have to ask, are anime movies ever good?
Nope, but this one might be, because from what I've heard, well, I don't want to say anything. What I've heard, this one has potential to be good.
The Cowboy Bebop movie was really good, but that's also kind of different.
Because it's like, they never have like any bearing to the animes. They're like a story, right?
The My Hero Academia one, I watched very recently, and it was very corny, but it's also the kind of thing where it's like, hey, we're headed to this island where no one's allowed to have contact with the outside world because of specific reasons. Oh, so we're not going to be able to talk to any of these people after the summer's done? Nope. And then they show up and like all their friends are there already. It's like, what are you guys doing here? We got summer jobs. Now we're part of the story. And it's just like they breeze right past it. You're done. It was cringe.
That's like the funny thing about not just anime, but also I think like Japanese live action is like the shows are so much more popular than the movies. Like, movies aren't really like a big thing there as much. Like movies have always been held to a higher standard than TV up until recently in the US. But it seems like it's always like whenever it's like an anime movie, like it's a movie offshoot, it's just kind of like an extra thing to make money on. And it's not an essential part to the actual
story. Well, budget-wise, it's technically only like 3 episodes of a TV show.
That's true.
Like, it's not like it's different That's it. It's just length.
They'll often blow the budget on like one major fight scene. I will say, I think it was last summer, I saw Dragon Ball Super Broly. I was invited out to an event, and that was awesome. That was a lot of fun. It was like a big-ass episode, but the fight scenes were fantastic.
Yeah.
And didn't have that much of a bearing on any sort of story, but it was still just like, hey, this is a grand old time.
Nice. But that Death Note live-action movie, though, right?
That starred Lasercorn?
Never saw that. Never saw that.
That dude looks like Laser. I also never saw it. Oh, apparently they're doing more of a run manga-wise, and I think therefore anime, of Death Note. I heard that was announced.
Really?
But also it's sort of just like, isn't that story all set?
Death Note also fit perfectly in the time it came out.
Yeah.
It came out of the peak of emo culture. Mm-hmm. And that just, it just fits so hard. Like it fit, Death Note sums up 2007. Like it really was the vibe. That was the vibe of 2007. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fit in 2020.
God, mm-hmm. I love Death Note. That was like the first...
Death Note's
that
incredible.
That was like the first anime that I really watched, aside from Pokemon.
It's not advertised as it should be, because it's kind of sold like the advertisements or the like showings of it are very like lean into like it's demonic and dark. I'm like, no, it's a detective story.
Yeah,
it's the coolest detective story you're ever gonna watch.
Yeah,
it's Sherlock. It's like the coolest version of Sherlock.
Where you like the characters on both sides too. On the one hand, you're like, I want this person to get away with it, and on the other hand, you're like, get him, find him out. Is this the moment?
It's there's nothing more frustrating than when you watch a show and the show is different than how it looks to a serious degree, and you try to explain that to people. And they're like, not that show. And you're like, no. It's not what you think it is. You need to watch it.
Also, it had two seasons and it was done.
That's how anime is either 26 episodes or 5,000 million episodes.
Yeah. We're looking at you, One Piece.
But it was great that you can just like watch this thing, see a great story, and then it ends in a satisfying way rather than just slowly burning out.
Yeah.
I respect that. It's the same thing with like reboots and live action stuff. Like Arrested Development, the first three seasons, I think it was one of the funniest, most well-crafted pieces of television ever. And when it was like, people were like, oh, it's coming back. I was like, no, please no. Mm-hmm. It was so good when it was flying under the radar. And then season four was hot garbage. And then they made another one. And it was also hot garbage.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because things become a parody of themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's like, tell us the story you want us to see.
It became kind of meta, right?
It became meta. And also all the actors were unavailable to film with one another. So they were like, what if everybody has their own separate story? It's like, great. That's not what the show is. It's dealing with a crazy messed up family forced to be stuck together in a situation. It's not even the same show.
Nobody learned from Avatar Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Perfect three seasons.
Yeah.
Perfect arc.
Never saw it.
You never watched Avatar Last Airbender?
No.
Bro.
I don't know.
That's the M. Night Shyamalan movie, right?
No. God damn it. No, that show holds the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's great.
Wouldn't people argue that's not anime?
I'm not saying it's anime. I'm just saying it's a really great. Okay.
But Arrested Development is anime. We can.
Arrested Development is anime. It's the ultimate anime. You got all the tropes.
But that is also why shows that get canceled are held to such a high degree, because it's like they went out.
Firefly.
And they were great. Firefly.
Firefly.
Well,
beautiful.
Firefly had a movie that was better than the show. Yeah. Serenity's dope.
Is it?
Oh, that movie's dope. I saw it before I saw the show, and I was like, that movie was incredible. And I saw it with my mom, who doesn't like sci-fi stuff, and she's like, that was a really good movie. It's awesome.
That's why it all boils down to story. It's like, the setting can change. Yeah, there can be – you can be in space, whatever, but like let's just have some cool stories.
Right.
That's why I feel, you know, it's not going to be for everybody, and I get sort of poo-pooed a lot for being like, you talk about anime a lot, but it's also like – some of the stories that I've been able to experience are just so cool. And I feel bad if someone is like completely writing it off to the point where they're definitely going to miss out on a cool story just because they're like, no, it's all like Pokemon. And you're like, no, it's just a cool story. And they're not limited by what an actor can do or what CGI can do. You're just drawing stuff.
Well, it's no different than how Mandalorian on Disney Plus is based off of Akira Kurosawa movies. Like it's based off Japanese samurai movies.
And yeah, some of them are. Some of them definitely feel that way.
Yeah. Or Westerns and that, but Westerns, a lot of American Westerns were inspired by.
Was it called like Lone Wolf and Cub or something like that?
Lone Wolf and Cub. There's also like, there's a couple, there's essentially a Seven Samurai episode of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Right.
That episode was so pointless.
But they had Phil. Space.
Mandalorian is okay.
Just okay?
You thought it was just okay? I loved it. Did you watch? You watched all of it?
Yep.
You even after that last episode, you felt that way?
Last episode was awesome.
But overall?
Overall, I mean, the way they made it was so that you didn't necessarily have to watch every episode, mm-hmm. it felt like. And they were just like, so now he's going to take a piece of all these other things that he did that have no connection and brings it all together for the last episode.
I think it's a preference thing because the same reason that you seem to be a little turned off by it, I loved that aspect because I may have talked about this on pod before, so if I have, I'm sorry. But I enjoy Star Wars, but I wouldn't say I'm like a diehard fan. I don't get like mad when a movie comes out and it doesn't go where I want it to go. But I've always been a little bit disappointed by it because the formula is like, we're going to start out on desert planet and we're going to need this thing. Oh, you need that person and that thing? You're going to have to go to swamp planet. All right, now let's go to swamp planet. Let's go to this thing. Yeah. And it ends up being so samey because they don't have much time to spend in each spot. So what I love about Mandalorian is like this episode takes place on Swamp Planet. What is there to explore on Swamp Planet? Oh, there's a village. What is daily life like in the village? Like, I've always wanted to be like, go to the desert planet, but have them explore a temple. Have that be an entire movie, the temple that they find and put in space.
Culture
but when,
show the
but
culture
when dude,
of it.
You know? But when dude goes to the Swamp Planet and something happens and then he leaves Swamp Planet, it didn't change the story in any way. It didn't change.
But that's
he was
how
just
TV
like,
used to be.
Like, he just brings Yoda there and then he's like, I can't keep Baby Yoda here. All right. Here I go. I'm off.
Well,
nothing happens.
It did introduce him to some characters that need to come up later.
Aw, character.
It also shows that, you know, there, you know, someone might say, you know, why wouldn't he just drop off this person and have a safe life? And it's like, well, that is his first thought. Let's explore that. And we as viewers got to have an interesting contained story. It also showed him, this is, I guess, a lot of spoilers at this point, but it also showed like, oh, he was maybe interested in some love. And he doesn't get to have that. He doesn't get to have that normal life. Like, he's tempted with...
Why are you making me like this show more, Damien?
I don't know.
Stop it.
I viewed
it's one of my favorite episodes.
I viewed it very similar to Witcher, where I'm like, this is just, like, a fun show.
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten to this point where because there's so much where we're like, we are ranking TV on such hardcore elements. And Breaking Bad was kind of the start of it, where it's like, it's got to have foreshadowing. It's got to, like, all mean something, every single element of a TV show. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, shows like Witcher and Mandalorian, I'm like, this is just awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that why did that happen? Because it's awesome. And I'm like, I'm totally fine with that being the reason. And I'm also just kind of stoked for us to be completely done with the Skywalker saga, because every time a movie comes out, half of the world hates it with a passion.
That's not what he would
and
do.
And like with Mandalorian, you can't have those opinions because it's all new characters that we can't have. So I'm like, let's please never touch on the Skywalker saga ever again and just make new characters that everyone can just be down with.
I love how angry people get about it.
People get a lot.
It blows my mind. Yeah. Star Wars fans are so much angrier than I've ever seen football fans. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And, like, I can't think of another fan base that's like that. Because, like, Star Trek fans are all kind of, like, very cool with all of Star Trek. And, like, there's stuff that they'll be like, oh, yeah, that series was terrible. But, you know, it's like, whatever. Like, they're not that mad about it. Whereas Star Wars fans, holy God.
I feel like sometimes, like, there's a little bit of pity there, I think is maybe the right word, where, like, you know, if someone's toxic and going after one of the actors, screw them, I don't care, like, get them out of there. I don't know, to really love a thing so much that it, like, defines you, but to also never be happy or satisfied. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like, we can eat and drink all we want, but it turns to ash in our mouths. I'm like, that sucks. Like, is there any part of this thing that you love that you actually love?
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, making fun of them. I'm like, that's just kind of legit sad.
I think it's also, like, a lot of these fans, there's this feeling of, like, but I am the real fan. I read all the books. Mm-hmm. I know all the lore.
Sure.
So I know Star Wars, and this is not Star Wars. And it's like, well, but it is. Because
it is Star Wars.
Somebody wrote it, and then they filmed it, and now it's Star Wars.
I try to, like, put myself in their shoes, and, like, I love Dark Souls. I love that series. So if they made a Dark Souls TV show, and instead of it being, like, all silent and somber, they had, like, a wisecracking, like, almost Nathan Drake style, like, whoa, sorry I had to drop in kind of character, I would really hate that. But I also wouldn't be like, no, sir. Yeah. It's not that. It's, like, it's okay to be like, you know what? That's not for me, and it doesn't take away the aspect of this that I like.
Yeah.
You know?
More like Orin Stout and Smug, am I right, losers?
Nice.
To the three people in the comments.
I just remembered I was a huge, like, Mass Effect fan.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw on like Hulu or something, there was like a Mass Effect anime movie.
Oh.
And I tried watching it and it was hot fucking garbage. Mm-hmm. And then so I was just like, I don't need to watch this. turned it off.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought about it since.
Yep.
I didn't like go attacking and say like, this is not real Mass Effect. You wouldn't do this. Exactly. It's just like, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
No thanks.
How about that, that it's not for you? And also, like, you see little kids at Star Wars land now getting lightsabers made for themselves. It's for them. It's always been kind of a corny series. Like, Han Solo taps a stormtrooper and then do-do-do-do-do, like, sneaks around. Like, it's supposed to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek sometimes. Yeah. But, you know.
And, like, look, to call myself out, like, Game of Thrones was the thing that I was the biggest fan of.
Sure.
But it also wasn't like my day was ruined because Game of Thrones, the final season, was just... It's not even... The difference between Star Wars and Game of Thrones, I will say, is there was stuff in Star Wars that, like, people were so mad about Last Jedi because of decisions that were made, mm-hmm. as opposed to them just clearly not caring. Mm-hmm. But that didn't mean that I'm, like, not a fan of it anymore. I'm just like, yeah, oh, it's... I can openly say I thought something sucked and not be, like, angry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The conversations we had were like, well, what's really cool and what I wish they would have shown was in the books, they sort of allude to this. And I thought that would have been a really cool storyline to see, as opposed to, like, this isn't real Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. You don't really know the real yeah. thing like I do.
I'm also not mad at people who liked it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I thought it... I just was like, oh, man, that sucks. I wish it was... better. Yeah. Like,
I wish I liked it. Like, isn't yeah. that lucky that they get to like it, that they got to feel yeah, like that ending yeah. was satisfying? Cool. Good for them.
I guess the difference there too is we also still have the books that
yeah.
I guess I will say Mass Effect Andromeda was a big letdown for me. I'd say that's more on the company than it is the yeah. final product. That was a disappointment.
But the parts time. That you're still a huge fan of are still there.
Yeah, and I yeah. didn't go online and start trashing them. I'm like, I don't think this was a finished product.
Yeah. No, not many people set out to make something bad. Like, and they're definitely not doing it to spite anyone.
Yeah.
And also with something as big as Star Wars, they have so many hands mm-hmm. in that.
Well, they're probably making process. It they're probably what sucks is part of their process now is trying to avoid the hate, which ends up causing them to make decisions that cause more hate.
Yeah. Yes.
And I would also say that these movies now have to be made with an international audience in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're like where Star Wars was originally made by, you know, an American with American tastes, movies now have to be made with international tastes in mind, people that maybe care more about an action scene mm-hmm. than a story. Not so that I'm fair. Saying that non-Americans are dumb and they only like to see explosions.
Damn.
But action is a lot easier to translate to totally. to other countries than maybe dialogue.
There's also people, there's different things. Like I said, a lot of people like want the TV shows and movies to like, everything has to mean something. There's got to be deeper. And it's like, yeah, but also it's also maybe just supposed to be entertaining. Like yeah. it's that tough balance.
Remember
and,
fun?
Yeah, it's that tough balance. But also like my thought with all of it is like, there's just so much content out there that I'm not going to harp on one thing, man. Yeah. There's just a million. I've gotten in this loop again. I find myself every year at some point where I'll text Damien and be like, man, I really want to like play a video game or watch a movie or something. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I end up not doing anything mm-hmm. because I'm like, there's too many choices.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's too much good stuff.
There's been so many times that I've left my Netflix just like on.
Yeah.
And I've been on my phone and just like.
Yeah.
It happens. I just don't watch it happens anything. A lot.
Yeah.
It's too always, much. I find it's always interesting what you gravitate toward because we do have that conversation a lot where it's just like, you know, I think we kind of got spoiled by specifically Skyrim, things like that, where you could just get lost for hours and hours. We want that experience. So we'll check in and do that. But I'll say to you like, hey, why don't you try this or why don't you try that? And sometimes you don't, which is normal and fine. Sometimes you'll try something like 6 months later, you'll be like, so I did finally pick up Persona 5 and I'll be like, whoa. And then other times I'll just casually drop like, oh, I heard a new good show is a Vinland Saga. And then literally that night you were farther than I was. Yeah. It's just funny. Like,
it's just
we
random.
Gravitate toward.
It's
yeah.
random.
Yeah.
Strange tangent. Damien, you're looking a little swole, bro.
Oh, thank you, man.
What's up with that?
Well, I've just been making healthier choices. Even if I haven't had time to go to the gym, I've been like making a specific effort at home. Like, all right, push-ups, sit-ups, dips, some squats.
100 push-ups. 100 yes. sit-ups.
Oh, yeah, One
Dude,
Punch Man.
Don't we do the One Punch Man workout?
I would love that. Well, the weirdest thing about the One Punch Man workout, so there's an anime or manga or whatever where this guy like is the strongest hero in the world and he's depressed because of it because he can beat anything in one punch and so he's just sad, nothing's fun anymore. There's no challenge. But the reason he got that way is he does 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and then a 10K run. Isn't the 10K run kind of a big leap between the others?
10K runs, actually not
6 miles.
That's not that 6.2 crazy.
Miles. But like everything else is like, it almost sounds like a joke. Like, oh, 100 push-ups, that's it. Oh, 100 sit-ups, that's it. But then a 10K run is just like, oh, that's going to take some time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But 100 push-ups is a lot for a lot of people.
100 push-ups is quite a lot.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's a, it's, 100 sit-ups but it's is a, easy. It's a,
for normal people.
To me, it's the perfect workout because it's like, it's enough to be like, yeah, you're someone who's getting in shape. Not enough to be like, I'm going to become a superhero. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's not Batman's workout routine.
But have you tried it, Shane?
No. I mean,
so you don't know.
We could do it. Let's do it.
It's definitely
a workout if you're training for a half marathon.
Yeah.
Like that's a solid workout if you're like, yeah, I'm going to do a half marathon in a couple months. Like, okay, do that. But that's what's funny about it. That's how he became the strongest human on the planet.
I say we just do this forever and see how wacky our bodies look.
Yeah.
You wouldn't look wacky. You'd just be like in good shape.
But you'd have very specific, like your back wouldn't have any sort of definition.
No.
You would be very like built in.
You'd want to add 100 pull-ups to it.
Yeah, but even pull-ups, like, you know, it does this motion, but, like, there's no, like, forward pull. Like,
yeah, no, it's not a complete workout.
It's not. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Been making healthier choices, been exercising. I'm down, I think, technically 10 pounds. I think I said that before, but my scale was not on a – thank you. My scale was not on a proper surface, so that was a problem before. But I think I'm down to 196.
Hey, went down below the 200 mark.
Yeah, which is good for me. If I could get to, like, 186, I'll be happy. And then I'll just continue building from there. But for me, it's more about being healthy as opposed to the number. But it's nice to know that, like, I can see that number and be like, oh, there is a difference.
Yeah,
the things
like
I have
goal done. Post.
A goalpost. Yeah.
I want to gain. I want to gain weight.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want
bulking
gain,
season.
I want to gain some muscle.
Nice.
Where?
I don't know. Just everywhere.
Where are you
one
gain
pec.
It?
I want to gain like 10 pounds. I think.
10 pounds
I'd love
of
to,
muscle.
I'd love to hit 180.
You could do that easy.
Where are you going to fit that muscle? Where's it going?
There's plenty of places.
One pec.
What? Both my buttocks.
Singular pec. And the other
dude,
one buttocks.
Can you
way
just work,
thicker.
Can you just work the, what is
my
it,
neck.
The delts?
Yeah.
What is this right here?
I forget.
Trapezius.
Just work your trapezius. Yeah. Get that swallow neck. Can I sing for you?
I want to do a, because I want to do a Spartan race this year.
Okay. So as we're filming this, the podcast where we had said that originally, just came out. So that gives you a bit of a timeline. And so a lot of people were saying, you know, whoa, the Spartan race is the, as hard as they come. Like we were talking about Tough Mudder and stuff like that, but some people in the comments were like, no, Spartan race is like the hard one. Like it's a lot of military exercises.
Well, I think we could do it. Wes and Mari have done it.
Yeah. But they're both very fit people. Wes is pretty in shape.
We have
and Mari
more months
is
to get into it.
I don't know, man. I got bronchitis. I want to go to bed.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to do it. Kevin's going to do it.
I'll join you.
All right.
I'll skip all.
We have time. We have time to train.
My one punch workout.
We have time to do the one punch workout.
Is there one that starts like by my house? And also, can I use a vehicle to win the race?
Dude, if you're getting into shape,
no, I'm kidding.
You
I'm
can do
sassy.
It.
I'm being a sassy boy.
I want to know. So the San Diego one, I'm not saying this is the one we're doing. It's a 5K with 20 obstacles. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
5K.
There's got to be a 10K
is easy,
one. There's
got to
be a
10K.
There's a 10K
I think if you
one
fail
too.
An obstacle,
we
they
do
make
the 10K
you do something
one.
Crazy. That's
no.
the thing.
No, no, not at all.
I've heard like if you fail an obstacle, you have to do like a bunch of things.
How would they be keeping track? There's thousands of people doing it.
Like a guy shows up, he's just like, all right, you didn't climb up the wall. Now you got to kiss me. And you're like, whoa, I don't know about that. And he's just like, I definitely work for this race.
I'm Mr. Spartan.
I'm Mr. Spartan.
I'd want to do something more challenging.
How about how about this one? New Jersey. This one's the Tri-State Jersey Ultra and Beast Weekend.
Okay.
The Ultra.
Oh, God.
Is a 50K.
Well, okay.
60 obstacles.
This is.
Fastest time? 7 hours.
That's an Ironman
yeah,
competition.
I'm,
that's crazy.
All right, fine. We'll just do.
I'm
we'll
talking
do the
like
beast. We'll
I'd
just,
love to find like
we'll
a 10 mile. I'd love to find like a 10 mile.
Sure. The Beast is a half
10K?
Marathon.
10 mile.
10 mile?
10 to, like a half marathon, but with obstacles would be dope. That's very
okay.
doable.
Does anybody else chafe when they run and the sound of your thighs scraping together is so loud it hurts
You're
your ears?
You're going to be in such good shape by then it won't happen.
And then there's sparks flying everywhere.
Beast is a half marathon with 30 obstacles.
Doable.
3 hours fastest time.
That's doable.
Fastest time, 3 hours?
Yeah. That's totally doable. Think about how awesome you'd feel once you did that.
I'd feel great, but I also feel pressure like I'm going to be the one that everyone's like, you good back there? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
You have months to like put yourself like.
As we are going on tour and we're going to Australia.
This would be in, we'd have months after Australia.
These obstacles have to be tough because I did Because this is a half marathon. I did the marathon in 3 hours and 28 minutes. So these obstacles
are tough. Well, so I know also the point of Spartan races is that you do an obstacle and then you turn back and you help people. None of the obstacles are singular obstacles. They are teamwork obstacles. Mm. So you'll like climb up a wall because people helped you get up the wall. Then you're supposed to turn back and help other people get up the wall. You are taking your time at these obstacles because it's not that it's like, oh, it took forever to get up that wall. It's like, no, I stayed for 15 minutes and helped people.
Interesting.
Okay, so the super is 10K, 25 obstacles, 80 minutes fastest time.
Okay, we can do that one if we can get everyone on board. Whatever we can get the most.
I don't want to drag nobody down.
No, because there's other people. I want to get the biggest Smosh team to do this so we're all together.
I mean, that's a little over 6 miles.
Yeah,
that sounds to me like an achievable goal.
Also, if we make a video out of it,
well, there you go.
Then that's easier to film.
That's true. Yeah, we've got to have like one incredibly like willing camera person to also carry a camera rig and jog alongside us, like a Kevin.
I do at some point want to run a half marathon, though.
Let's do it.
I would like to do that at some point.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's definitely doable. I trained for one once, and I was doing it, and. The person that I was running it with couldn't finish it, and I was like, okay, I'll stop with them. But we were halfway through, and I was like, I was good. I was like, I could have finished that so well. Yeah. But I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that and leave.
I did one that went along the beach. I saw dolphins.
That's awesome.
And awesome. The race ended with tacos and beer.
That's
super great.
That's great.
I would probably vom, but that sounds cool.
Not if you trained, man.
I took two of my friends, and one of them was not prepared, and he hated it.
It was tough.
So pissed.
My brother and my sister-in-law, this was like 15 years ago. She's a runner and she runs all the time. And so she trained for this half marathon, and my brother did not train for it, and last minute was like, yeah, I'm going to do it too. And they get to the final stretch and he's like, I'm not going to let her beat me.
He just kicks
past
her.
And he pushes and he like beat her at the last second. But then he was bedridden for a week.
Yep.
And she was fine. No, he just didn't train for it. So his muscles weren't prepared for it. So he destroyed his ego, destroyed his body.
All right. So we'll look for a Spartan race type race to do.
Okay.
We're doing it. We're going to all get on board.
Yes.
Damien, you're gonna be so cut by then.
2020
Damien.
Smosh crew gets absolutely ripped. Jacked. Yeah. We're becoming titans this year.
We're gonna be ripped comedians.
We're gonna be all as buff as possible.
We're gonna be a bunch of Joe Rogans.
Yeah.
Jamie, pull that up.
We're gonna have Elon Musk on here, and
we gotta start hunting elk like tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Bow hunting.
I ate camel the other day.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, we gotta
finish this pod.
You bring this up now at the end of the pod.
We'll get to this next time because I want to hear about this, and I'm not gonna.
Damien
talk to you about
ate
it.
A camel.
Not
Damien
all right. ate a camel. Some camel.
All right.
Some camel.
Well, whole camel. That's a lot of camel.
Well, dude, all right. We'll get to that next time.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much. We got some new merch in the store, guys. Check it out, Smosh.store. None of us are wearing it, so you got to go there to find out what it is.
It's really cool.
Damien Shane, thank you so much for coming on here.
Bros like we.
Bros like we.
Bros like
we. Bros like we.
Bros like we. Bros like we.